salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have passed the salt.
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any bounds.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Yeah. Here it is Monday morning. If I see one more poll, I'm going to die. I'm tired of the polls. You always get up early in the morning here. It's up about 5 o'clock this morning. Dive on the Facebook. Dive, trying to find out what's going on out in the world, you know. And, oh, my goodness, poll. I'm not talking about Pol Pot, the guy who killed all the people over in Cambodia. I'm talking about those polls, those political polls, where they tell you how much women hate Trump. They all just hate Trump. All those women hate Trump, and he can't win. He can't do this, and poll after poll after poll. But I noticed something today, folks. You do know this, don't you? Polls don't reflect public opinion. They drive public opinion. You do know that, don't you? When they put an opinion poll out there, they're trying to take you somewhere. They've been trying now for the last 2 weeks to show us how much everybody hates Trump. Women in particular hate Trump. How Trump's 20-point lead has disappeared in Wisconsin, and Cruz is surging, and everybody loves Cruz, except something dynamic is going on right now. I don't know if you've noticed this. This is how they do it. Now, all of a sudden, as over the weekend, you begin to see what? Oh, my goodness. Trump is closing the gap once again. See, they've spent 2 weeks trying to make everybody hate Trump. But now, so that they can maintain their credibility, they have to get closer to where the poll is. And the truth is, Trump's ahead in Wisconsin. So now they're trying to move back there. Oh, there's been a sudden surge again from Donald. He weathered the storm. They use polls to drive us to where they want us to go. I was watching a video this morning. By the way, Coach Dave, passing the salt here this morning. God bless you. Thanks, all of you, for joining. I'm in a good mood today. I slept great last night. Had a great weekend with our boot camp. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Roger, I'm going to let you talk about your experience at the abortion clinic. But I just some stuff I got to – I haven't talked to anybody, you know, all weekend. I haven't had a chance. And you know what I was thinking about doing, gentlemen? I was thinking about softening my voice and toning it down a bit, because I've heard from some people who just think I'm too harsh. And so I wonder if I could just talk like this in a gentlemanly voice and be Mr. Howdy Doody if we'll all get along a little bit better. So I'm going to try to start out here the best I can and mimic your pastor. I'll try to be just like that 6-foot icicle. God bless you, that stands in your pulpit every morning and tells you just how great everything is out in the good old world, and we win in the end, and you know. So I'm going to try to do that. So I started to scream this morning when I saw the poll about how bad Trump is doing with women. And you know, I had a curious thing. Curious thought came to me. Because remember, polls, they try to take you someplace with a poll. So I had a curious thought come to me. Huh. When's the last time I saw a poll on how Trump does with men? I found one. You know, he's nailing men about 70%, right? So instead of the media telling us how good Trump's doing with men, they try to tell us how bad he's doing with women, right? Oh, these guys, they're devilish. They're devilish. They are absolutely devilish, and it's all designed to control public opinion, to direct public opinion, not to reflect it. Direct, not reflect. Understand the difference in that, right? So those of us who are here on the queue hopefully are smart enough to be able to figure out what's going on. I'm excited because this weekend I got to see JR face-to-face. I got to see Roger face-to-face. I got to see Kevin face-to-face. I got to see Matt face-to-face. Matt drove down 2 hours to be 2.5 hours to be part of our boot camp on Saturday. Doug, you didn't drive all the way from Salt Lake or wherever you are. You didn't make it.
No.
I saw Weaver at the clinic, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. And this Friday, I'm going to see Jared in Portland, Oregon, or Portland, was that Maine? I'm flying to Maine. Got some great plans going on. It's just going to be a one-dayer out to Maine and back out to Portland. Guys, listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. There is something really big going on. There's a rumbling all across America. It's a rumbling. And that rumbling is, we can call it whatever we want to, it's a great awakening of the middle class. It really is a great awakening of the middle class that's going on. And I think that those who are joining us here on our morning broadcast, I think that you are getting a different perspective on it than most people are getting. Most people are still stuck in the left-right paradigm, the Republican good, Democrat bad paradigm, right? Most people, conservative good, Democrat or liberal bad, we're stuck in that box. We don't understand that they too are using that box to try to direct us towards a specific end that they want to get us to. And the rumbling is going on like we can't even. I saw a video yesterday. It was crazy, of the people standing in line to see Donald Trump in Wausau, Wisconsin, and it really was really hit home with me because I was in Wausau, Wisconsin. In fact, I was in that very building that this lady was. It was 4 minutes. This lady or man, I don't know what it was. They took their phone, and they turned it on, and they walked down the line of people getting in to see Trump. Took her 5 minutes to walk the line. They still weren't at the end of it. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Hey, children, stop now. Watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Is that Buffalo Springfield? That's back from my 70s days. Something going on. I'm telling you, there is something going on. And I'm also going to tell you this. The establishment is not going to put up with it. They're not going to put up with it. They cannot stop Donald Trump. Love him or not. I mean, I don't care. Listen, to the people standing right here, I don't care who you vote for. I've told you this, an evil tree cannot bear good fruit, so I don't care about that. Vote for whoever you want to. I'm here to tell you. If the elections are fair, there's no way that they'll stop Donald Trump. And you know the underlying message? They'll never say it. You ready? I got to see if everybody's there. Hey, Dylan. You know who's voting for Trump? Can I say it, Roger? White people. White people. The middle class white American is fed up with it. They're fed up with it. And they're so fed up with it that they're willing to cast their lot with him. Because they've seen all this other stuff and all this phony evangelicalism and all this phony stuff. And they're willing to take a chance. They're casting their lot with the Trumpsters. So I'm telling you this, you guys who are watching this show, you're at the cutting edge. You're at the cutting edge. It's what's going on. Because the group here knows that there's only two teams. There's the devil's team and there's the Lord's team. And we know this, that you cannot put a righteous man on top of the devil's team and be successful with it. You can't. You just can't. And so the idea that that politics is going to change what's going on, the depth of the evil running rampant throughout America is beyond anything that we can even understand. It is so multifaceted that we can't pick it up. We don't get it. You guys are getting it. I believe you guys are getting it because you're understanding now that it's a spiritual thing. So when people say, Coach, how can you even say nice things about Trump? Well, it's because I'm looking at it in an entirely different perspective than what the rest of you are looking at. I could go down a litany of things about Ted Cruz that curls your toes. I'm tired of playing that game that they try to set us up to play. So I didn't want to talk about politics, but I did want to make it clear to you about the polls. I haven't even yelled today. I've been pretty good today. Been pretty good. Did you see, to me, this was staggering. And again, you hear me now. The Lord's given us a chance. He's given us a chance if we'll take it. Hillary Clinton, on Saturday, I believe it was, admitted that an unborn baby was a person. Did anybody see that? Did anybody see that clip of her saying that?
Pick that up right away. Pick that up right away.
The one thing that the left has been saying, the God haters have been saying, is it's not a person, it's a fetus. She repeated it twice, that an unborn baby was a person. She said it twice. Hey, folks, if we can't see that if we can't grab that and run with it, then what good is it? Do you know that in the Roe versus Wade decision, Justice Blackmun, who wrote the concurring opinion, said, if it was ever determined that the fetus was a person, then of course they have all the rights of the 14th Amendment. Of course they do. And so that's why over the last 30 years, the left has done everything they could to convince us it's not a person. It's not a person. Well, Hillary just blew the whole thing for him. She admitted it's a person. Well, we know that, right? We know it's a person. So how are we gonna play it off? And you know, I got a lot of bumps on my video that I made regarding whether or not a woman ought to be punished. Oh my goodness, did the pro-life movement get exposed for that one? Because every major pro-life organization said that a woman should not be punished. It's crazy. It's crazy. That's where we are, though. And it's good, because you know what? The Lord's exposing things. He's exposing it. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. I admit that. I admit it. And when's the last time the Browns won? First of all, they snuck out of town in the middle of the night, and then they came back about 5 years later, and they haven't been any good ever since. They keep changing coaches. They keep changing players. They can't get a quarterback over and over and over and over and over. And every year we think, well, this will be the Browns' year. They got good coach now. Now they just got RG3. This is going to be the Browns' year, and we're going to be disappointed again, because why? There are a lot of problems in that Browns organization until they get it straightened out. Remember, in a professional football sense, every organization has experts. They're all good. And so we think the Browns are going to go out and draft, and they're going to catch up with New England, and they're going to catch up with Carolina. Are you kidding me? They're so far behind. Well, see, here's where we are. We're so far behind. We're so far behind. And then as we begin to dig into this thing, we begin to realize this, that the coaches on our team, the National Right to Life and America, all these other organizations, all these pro-lifers, they've been playing for the other team. They haven't even been trying to win. They've been blowing their draft picks on purpose. It comes out when Donald Trump, see, there he goes again, that wild and crazy bull comes out and says that a woman ought to be punished if it's illegal. And they all went crazy, and they're all exposed. Teddy Cruz, what did he say? Oh, no, no, no. No, we have to protect the sanctity of women. They're murdering their babies. What are you talking about, Ted? Johnny Kasich, hey, I don't know if you saw this. Big expose. Hey, JR, one of our friends, Richard, has been telling us for a long time that John Kasich swings both ways. He's a switch hitter, AC/DC. That's about to be, it's about to be exposed. From what I understand, something wrong with that guy for sure. Okay, I got a little of that stuff off my chest. Anybody want to comment about anything I just said for head another way? Great. We went to the clinic. We had the boot camp this week. Friday night, we had a Lori Davis. We had a post-abortive woman, a woman who had an abortion 30 years ago. Spoke at our boot camp on Friday night. It was very, very powerful. She spoke about 30 years later, still weeping about what she had done and how it impacted her life and how it impacted the life with her parents, that her parents took her to get the abortion, that her mother took her to kill a grandbaby, and her dad, it was her dad's idea, and the deep, deep, deep injury and harm that was done to her because of that abortion. It was very, very powerful, very powerful. And so then Saturday morning, we followed that up by going to the abortion clinic for the first time, because we always tell everybody that when you go to the abortion clinic, there's one dead and one wounded. When they go in, one dead, one wounded. In fact, Lori in her testimony said this, that when they went to the abortion clinic 30 years ago, there were three people in the car. And when they came home, there was only two. And the whole time coming home, they never even talked about it, what had just happened. So and until you go there, until you see what's going on, it's not real. Just isn't. So Saturday morning, normally we go to Planned Parenthood here in Columbus, but the Planned Parenthood isn't open on Saturday. So we went to what they call Founders, which is a private abortion clinic right on Broad Street in Columbus. And Roger showed up. Now, Roger's been to the clinic, but I don't think he'd ever been to the clinic when they were actually doing their dastardly deed. Roger showed up, and one of his friends showed up, and I won't use his name because I don't want to embarrass him, because it probably wouldn't embarrass him, but I'm not going to use his name. I walked back behind the clinic where the cars pull in, they park back there, and I walked behind the clinic, and there was Roger's friend on his knees. And I knew how much he was impacted by what he was seeing. Here's an interesting thing. He has an adopted son. This man has an adopted son. And I think it really hit home in his heart that had somebody done that to his son wouldn't be here. Some mother had aborted him. And so, Roger, I just want you to take a minute and just share with everybody that experience of going to that thing. And I'm sure, knowing you, you probably chewed on that all weekend inside of you. Just share that a little bit with us, if you will, Roger.
Well, very quickly, a couple things I noticed was the harshness of the women going in. That was really interesting. The coldness, the callousness, even with words of compassion and mercy, just the harshness. I've never been to a clinic where the girls were showing up, and it was very, very, it was eerie. It was absolutely eerie.
Good word.
The grandmother who's showing up with her granddaughter and then making comments to us. The girl who said she'd been to doctors who said her baby wasn't healthy, and that's why she was doing it.
Yeah, she had to go there and kill it. We said, how come you're not taking her to the doctor then? Why are you bringing it in here to kill?
To see the doctor, if that's what you call him, getting out of his car with his satchel and walking up to the clinic. I will say one thing. I was much more comfortable being able to articulate.
Hang on there, man. Roger, you froze up on us here.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now we got you. Start that sentence again.
I was much more comfortable, and I'm saying this carefully because I do not want to be prideful or an arrogant. We're all sinners. We are all fallen. But there was I was much more comfortable talking about God's wrath on sin and understood why that's an important component of the gospel message.
They didn't need to hear that Jesus loved them, did they, Roger?
No, there needed to be the balance, which I saw from you and others, of God's love and mercy. But a couple of them would turn with their evil comments. And when they turned with their evil comments, I felt a door then was open to tell them the wrath of God and the blood that they were spilling and what was coming.
We always led with mercy, didn't we, Roger?
Led with mercy and hope. I think the other thing that startled me the most was the lack of people. And I was thinking, you know, if that alley would have had 50 people in it just milling around, you could have probably stopped half the people going in there if they just saw the numbers there.
Yep.
And, you know, me, I get these crazy ideas of if I was running a men's ministry, I'd have our July meeting in the alley there and give coffee and have our meeting there.
Right, right.
I think the last thing I would say is this. For me to see it, you know, I don't know if I'll be there next week or next month or next year. I don't know where God will stir me on that. But to see it live, it was just eerie. It was sad and eerie. And the workers, the callous workers, the evil there, it just was, like I said, it was good. I don't know if good's the right word, but to see it and to experience it, it was just good for me to see that. And
they
I
all
think it would be good for others to see it.
They all know they're killing, folks. They all know they're killing. They do. The women going in, they know they're killing. And the women that are working there, they know they're killing. They know it. And so that's why they don't want to hear receive the light of the gospel. I was talking to a guy out back. He was an older guy. He's 44 years old, and his girlfriend was going to go in. This guy's already got two children and a grandbaby. I said, what are you doing? He says, listen, man, I don't want her to kill the baby. I want her to live, but it's her choice. Can you believe that? I wonder if that guy lets his wife pick the color of the car. I wonder if that guy lets his wife control whether he goes hunting or not, or goes riding on his Harley, but comes to killing his baby. What's her choice? It's just, we live in craziness. One of the things I was struck by, and I wish my old buddy Norm's probably driving his way to work right now. Wish we could get him in there. That your guest that you brought, Raj, and I'm just not going to use his name just because, you know, out of decency to him. One of the first reactions he had, he said to my buddy Norm, who was there, is he didn't like the pictures. And then, see, the initial reaction always is mercy, 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 mercy. Oh, these are so horrible. We shouldn't be showing the women these pictures. That's all. Listen to me. That's always the reaction, even of men. It's always the reaction. They're too harsh. Folks, murder's harsh. Abortion's harsh. And so we use the pictures to try to shock them to understand what the women, to understand what they're getting ready to do when they go inside that thing. I want to share something with you today. Turn to Proverbs, if you will, while we're getting ready. Anybody else want to weigh in on this thing at all? If you've never been to an abortion clinic, I would really, really suggest that you do it. Because, listen, they're not going in there to get their teeth cleaned. It's not like you're sitting outside of a dentist's office or a manicurist's office. The reality is some girl is walking into that building. She's going to kill her baby. It's going to be a murder. Hey, Hillary Clinton told us that. See, Hillary didn't say it wasn't murder. She said they don't have rights. Think about that a second. Somebody else gets to determine when you have rights? Hillary? Bernie Sanders? Bernie says no exceptions. No exceptions. No exceptions. Woman can kill it right up to the moment it's born, according to Bernie. And they're godless, and we won't fight against it. In fact, we heard our pro-life leaders. Our pro-life leaders said, don't be so harsh. It's not about the woman. I don't want to get buried on that. I want to show you some good word today. By the way, you guys really want to encourage yourself? You listeners out there really want to encourage yourself. You say, Coach, I want to read the Bible, but I don't know where to read. Okay, well, here's what you do. Every day, read one psalm and two chapters of Proverbs. If you just do that, excuse me, you'll have enough to chew on for all day. One psalm or two psalms and two books of Proverbs. Wisdom in there. Wow. So I'm in 24. Proverbs 24. And then I'm going to take you to a psalm as well. You know, when you're reading Proverbs, I'm sorry, maybe I shouldn't get up so close. Would it be better if I sat clear back here? Would everybody think I'm less threatening if I sit clear back here? What do you think, JR? Sit clear back here? All right, I'll sit clear back here then. I feel like I can't even see you boys. Proverbs is hard to just pick a verse. You know, I say go to Proverbs 24 and start at verse, it's always hard to start at a certain verse because Proverbs is just so much wisdom. When you start to read one of them, you say, got to go to the next one. You got to go back a verse. Well, let's go back another verse. Let's go back another verse. Let's go back. And so it's hard to catch a thought, one thought in Proverbs. Pardon me, I got to come a little closer. Don't want to threaten your space. Let's just start Proverbs 24. And Roger, you've become the designated reader.
I want you to know I have a new Bible.
Good. Good.
It's called The Way. One of those sissy Bibles.
That's what it sounds like. You're here amongst men. You're here amongst men, buddy. We'll straighten you out.
Where do you want me to start?
Just start in chapter. I know where I'm heading. Just start chapter 1. Verse 1. No, I'm sorry. Chapter 24, verse 1.
Do not envy wicked men.
Boy, I could preach right there.
Do not desire their company.
Woo.
For their hearts plot violence, and their lips talk about making trouble.
Amen.
By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established.
Okay, let me stop a minute. Big difference, guys, between knowledge and wisdom. Very big difference. Knowledge is the accumulation of information. Wisdom is the application of that information. They're not the same. In fact, Roger, I commented to my son when he went to law school and he came home. I said, when did you get so stupid? You used to be smart. What the heck happened to you? Because he now has a lot of knowledge, but knowledge without wisdom is folly. And so that's what they're saying here in Proverbs. Keep going, Roger.
Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. A wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength.
Ooh, man, doesn't he ever.
For waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors.
Jim, there's our scripture, Jim. For in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There it is. The multitude, that's what we have here. A multitude of counsel. There's safety. If I get off, some one of you guys pulls me back. Say, whoa, 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 pull me. There's a multitude of counselors. There's great wisdom. Safety, it says here. Go ahead, Rog.
Wisdom is too high for a fool.
Somebody say amen. Hang on.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Wisdom is too high for a fool.
In the assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say.
And he opens not his mouth in the gate. He doesn't have anything to say. He can't even answer it. Go ahead.
He who plots evil will be known as a schemer. The schemes of folly are sin, and the men detest a mocker.
Oh, boy. We're getting there. We're almost there. Verse 9. Yep.
The schemes of folly are sin, and men detest a mocker.
The scorner is an abomination to men, it says. Verse 10.
If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength?
Oh, mine says if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. See, your strength is for the time of adversity. That's what it's for. All this Bible reading and all this study is for the day of adversity because it's coming to you. And if you faint in that day when adversity shows up, it's all been a waste. Because everything that we are studying and everything that you are learning is for that day of adversity. It is coming. For some of you, it may be tomorrow. For some of you, it may not be for 2 months. For some of you, it may not be for 3 years. But, buddy, it's coming. And when it comes, if you're not able to stand against that adversity, see, a lot of men wilt. We see a lot of men in positions of authority wilt in the day of adversity. We saw the governor of Indiana, Mike Pence, wilt when the home was called. See, that was not the time to wilt. That was the time to be strong in the day of adversity. And so we know that in that day of adversity, he wilted. His strength is small. Hey, again, I hate to keep coming back to it. You don't see Trump wilt, do you? You don't see him wilt. You see him get stronger in the day of adversity. He didn't backtrack. Okay, here's where I'm heading, Rod. Verse 11.
Rescue those being led away to death.
What?
Rescue those being led away to death.
Rescue who?
Those being led away to death.
Why? Keep going, I'm sorry.
Hold back those staggering towards slaughter.
That's what you were doing Saturday morning, Roger. They're being led to death. Rescue those. Hey, guys, this is the word of God. Rescue those that are drawn to death and those that are ready to be slain. Verse 12, Roger.
If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay each person according to what he has done?
I hope that's not true. I hope that that Solomon, when he wrote this, was just kind of running out of things to say, maybe just kind of put this in here. Because I hope I'm not going to give an account. And shall he not render to every man according to his works? And to look at us and realize that we casually dealt with those who were unjustly led to slaughter. It's not just talking about abortion, but it's certainly a great picture of abortion. Being unjustly led to the slaughter. See, the 14th Amendment, does anybody know what the 14th Amendment, somebody explain to us the 14th. Larry's got his hand up there. Let's Larry jump in there, and then I'll talk about the 14th Amendment. Get him up there, Jared, if you can. Morning, Larry.
Good morning. Yeah, the 14th Amendment is the one that talks about equal protection under the law.
Yes, sir.
It means a couple of things specifically, and it is the right to life is one thing. And it says all persons, and you know what? And Roger can attest to this, I think, in a court of law, if a DNA is collected and there's a DNA somewhere, then that means that that person whose DNA that is was at that place that was collected. Can't tell you when they were there, but it can tell you that that person was at that location at some point, right?
Big hug, Larry. Big hug, man.
When that sperm fertilizes that egg and that new DNA is created, a brand new separate DNA from the mommy to daddy and everybody else, when that new DNA is created, law already says that person was there. So why they can't make the connection that that person is protected by the Constitution is beyond me. It's such a simple concept.
It's scientific proof, Larry. This is not a theory. This is not the idea that we believe that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. We don't have to bring the Bible verses into this. We don't have to bring anything into it. That's scientific right. Information, scientific fact tells us that when that DNA is present, there is a new human being. Right, Larry? That's the point you're making?
Absolutely. It's cut and dry.
Cut and dry. And so what we saw Hillary Clinton say yesterday was what? Well, of course it's a person. Of course. See, they changed the whole argument on it, and we let them get away with it. Of course it's a person. But no rights, no constitutional rights. 14th Amendment, I don't have it in front of me. I thought I did. Wait a minute. Keep talking there a second, Larry. I used to carry it in my Bible, but I'd like to quote it as it is. I always carry the Constitution in my Bible.
Yeah, it's the 14th Amendment. What struck me about it is how strongly it zeroed in on the right to life for every person.
Amen.
The right to life is such a constitutionally protected element, but it is so easily thrown aside by those who it doesn't fit their little box of thinking.
Now, we know, first of all, don't we, fellas, that the 14th Amendment was what they call a Civil Rights Amendment. Somebody Google that for me. I'll let you read the 14th Amendment to us. It was a Civil Rights Amendment. The 14th Amendment was designed specifically for blacks, for slaves that were being freed. Some of the states weren't going to give them freedom. And so they passed the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. They're all civil rights amendments. All three of those amendments have to do with slavery, all of them. They were the civil rights amendments. They were all passed between 1865 and 1869, I believe, that four-year period. It's hard to get an amendment to the Constitution, right? That's a hard thing to do. So the 14th Amendment was there basically to – remember the context now – was basically there to grant liberties to former slaves. And so that's the 14th Amendment is the amendment that they've used to bring in homosexual rights and transgender rights and all that stuff. They use the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. And we're seeing right now the 14th Amendment of the Constitution is trumping the First Amendment. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But now they use the 14th Amendment saying a homo wanting to have a cake baked trumps the First Amendment. Sorry about that word. Trumps the First Amendment's right to freedom of religion. They've got it upside down. Do you understand? Did anybody pull up the 14th Amendment for me? I'm looking here. See, JR's got me clear back here, so I can't see anything anymore. I got to slide up here to see what's on my screen. Is this the 14th Amendment right here? Yes. Okay. Good. This is all we need to know. Is the first, the section one of the 14th Amendment. You ready? Remember, Civil Rights Amendment. Remember, all persons born or naturalized in the United States are subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Listen, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive of any person life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdictions the equal protections of the law. There it is. I think I just stay there. Think about all that. I don't know if you guys can. You guys all see that on your screen as well? I think you probably can. You see how they've used this to get all that, all the homosexuality through, and all that stuff. Equal protections under the law. That's the one that they like. So what did Hillary do? She says, "Oh yeah, but that doesn't apply to unborn. Unborn, they're not. Although they're people, they don't have those rights." By the way, you know why they put this in there? Because they said blacks weren't people. Remember? Blacks weren't people. And so in order to make sure blacks got equal protection, they called them people. They get it. You can't say a black's not a person anymore. Isn't it funny? That's what the Nazis said about the Jews. They weren't people. They weren't people. So they're able to kill them. They're not people. What are they saying about the unborn? Well, they start out saying they're not people. But now Hillary's admitting they're people, but she says, well, it doesn't apply to them. They're not born yet. You don't have any rights till you're born. It's craziness, man. It's crazy. So that's how they've tied us in knots with those Civil War amendments. Okay? Roger, you act like you want to say something. Maybe not. Anybody? Any comment there? Because I got another place I want to take you. Yeah, Kevin. Can you get Kevin up there? Whoever got that 14th Amendment, good work. I think that was you, wasn't it, Jared? Whoever pulled that up there, good work. Go ahead, Kevin, you're up. We're not hearing you, Kevin. Are you you unmuted, Kevin? We're not hearing you.
He's good on my end.
I'm not hearing him. Are you hearing him?
No, I'm not hearing him. I'm just saying from the...
Do you hear him, Larry?
No, I heard somebody say it's good on my end.
Yeah, yeah. We're not hearing you, Kevin. I know, because I want to hear you, but yeah, we're not hearing. Okay, keep working on that thing. We'd love to hear you. Anybody want to say anything? JR, Larry? Weave?
Okay, it's a great point, Coach. And I was looking for that Blackman comment, because if you can match those three up, that's great stuff.
Well, you remember what they said in Dred Scott, don't you? Do you guys remember what the issue was in Dred Scott and when they came out of it? They said that a black man was what? Do you remember? 3/5 of a human being. Right? Not a person. Because if you acknowledge that they're people, then they get black men. Oh, man, if I had time to get on there, Matt Truella just did a great thing about that the other day. About how Harry Blackman in the Roe versus Wade decision said if there's ever determined, it's just like blacks. If they're ever determined they're people, then they have rights. Little people have rights. And it's been 43 years. Abortion is so entrenched that even those who are pro-lifers admit that we're never going to win that battle. God help us. Kevin, can you try it again? I'd love to hear what you got to say. Hey, there we got you.
Oh, is it working?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on a different computer. I changed my settings. I just wanted to mention that Islam calls Jews non-human. And also, also they're going, I think, after Christians, too, and they say the same, calling monkeys and other kinds of names, but we're not people.
They have to dehumanize it in order to be able to get away with it, don't they? They don't.
Exactly.
And guys, just compare that to the treatment we give to animals. The people that, I'm looking, I got 20 minutes.
Anything bad about animals or PETA will be calling you.
Yeah, PETA. PETA, they'll be after us for sure. I want to share a psalm with you. Let me backtrack. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 18 if you can. I don't want Roger to miss this. He's up moving around. He always needs a little bit of Bible in the morning. Hey, guys, there's a war coming. Back up. There's a war coming. I'm not trying to scare you. They're doing everything they can to try to drive us to war, trying to create a race war, among other things. Trying to create a war against ranchers, against white Christian patriots. Let's call it what it is. And I did a video. If you want to check out some of the videos, I did a video, oh, I don't know, 4 years ago maybe, called I'm Proud to Be White. It's got 50,000 views on you go to my YouTube page. And see, they accuse me of being racist. Am I allowed to be proud to be white? Is it okay? Is it okay to say that? Well, I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud of my heritage. They've so programmed us that for me to say that, I'm racist. In fact, Right Wing Watch is probably going to pick this up again and show this clip that I'm bragging that I'm white. Folks, listen, where's Mike Heath when we need him? This is not about special rights. It's about equal rights. Equal rights. I have the same rights as a white man that a black man has. I have the same rights as a white man that a black woman has. I have the same rights. We have equal rights, not special rights. Not special rights. And I don't forfeit any of my rights because I happen to be a white man or a white Christian man. And if you're not smart enough to see that the attack that's taking place across America is, number one, on Christianity. Really, it's on Christianity. And one of the ways they're going after it is by attacking, in particular, the white Christian man. I've come to know this, and JR, you can testify to this as well. There are a lot of black Christian men who are my brothers, who are better friends to me than anybody because of skin color. But the divide and conquer that's at work is how they've been able to manipulate us and get us to the place where we are. And we're talking about, folks, the destruction of Western civilization. That's what it's about. And again, it comes back to what I said earlier. We don't have any idea how evil is. We don't have they have to destroy God. They have to destroy God. They have to eliminate God. Flip real quick to Genesis. I had you in Proverbs. I'm going to save that till tomorrow. Go to Genesis real quick. JR, do you have a Bible in front of you there? Okay, I'm going to trust you to read this very, very complicated section of the Bible. Genesis. Are you there, JR? Okay, JR, do me a favor. Read verse 1. He's not unmuted yet, Jared.
That's me.
There you are, Jared. I'm sorry. Verse 1.
Oh, come on, Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Okay, buddy. There it is. If they can destroy the first verse of the Bible, we're done. If you can't believe what it says at the very beginning, we're done. We've lost this book has lost all authority. If what is said in the first verse is proven to be false, how do you trust anything from there on?
Evolution.
So that's why they have worked so hard on evolution in the mind of our children. That's why they have made the idea of creationism illegal in our schools. Now, the last when I was teaching, even this morning when I got up, evolution is a theory. A theory means an idea of how this whole thing, if it was true, if it was proof, it wouldn't be a theory. Creationism is a theory. By the way, a theory that's been around for 6,000 years. And only since the late 1850s have we allowed Charles Darwin's theory to now trump the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You do away with that, your foundation is totally and completely destroyed. So if we open our eyes and understand that that has been the goal of the enemy from the very beginning, is to destroy the authority of the Word. Remember I told you earlier when the devil stood before Eve, what did the devil do? What did the devil say to Eve? Has God really said?
Did he really say that?
Let's go there. Let's go. That's Genesis 6, I think. Of course, I'm probably wrong. It's probably 3. Yeah, Genesis 3. You still there for me, JR?
Yeah.
Start reading Genesis 3, and you're going to see that this technique from the very beginning has been to remove God. It's the same battle today. It's the exact same one today. Go ahead, JR. Just start reading in verse 1.
I'm using a compromised Bible, by the way. It's the new, New King James Version. Okay?
Okay, well, I'll throw a little holy water to sprinkle that thing that maybe some truth will come out of that thing. Go ahead.
Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made.
Okay, let's stop a minute. Cunning. Just think about that. And look at how much cunning is being used in today's society. I talked about the polls, and how they're using the polls to shape opinion. So, JR, I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made. Right? So he made, go ahead, go ahead.
And the serpent said to the woman, has God indeed said,
stop.
We shall not
eat? Stop. There it is, right? There it is. He immediately questions the authenticity of God. All right? Keep going, JR. In fact, read that verse again, JR, and I'll leave you alone here for a minute.
And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.
Okay, so right away, now the devil knows that Eve has a little bit of knowledge. He asked one simple question, and he found out Eve has a little bit of knowledge. Adam has shared with her why they can't eat from that tree. So watch him change tactics. He says, well, she knows that. Let's see, how can we tear that apart? Go ahead, JR.
By the way, from in sales, when you hear the word no, that's a buying signal. And Satan caught the buying signal right away.
Mm-hmm.
When the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die.
Oh, it changed tactics, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say no, God didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, oh, come on, you're not going to die. He tried to attack what seemed to be the least believable of all of them. He just questioned, come on, you're not going to die. He didn't say, see, you can't eat the tree. He didn't say God didn't create him. He didn't say, he just said, you're not going to die. Go on, JR.
For God doth know.
Oh, the devil brings God into it, doesn't he? The devil brings in God to the discussion now.
Then in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Wow.
Huh? So the devil brings God into the devil begins to speak for God. Isn't this unbelievable how this works? It's going on everywhere we look in society. This has never changed. That the devil is creating in our minds a different dialogue with God. It's not really a baby. It doesn't really feel pain. It's just a blob of tissues. I was born that way. Why do you hate? It's all about love and talk. The devil, he never attacks the truth. He attacks the edges of the truth, just around it. Keep going, JR.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband, who was with her, and he ate.
Oh, my Lord.
Then the eyes of both of them were...
Oh, JR, I got to stop you a minute. Where's Adam?
He's letting Eve lead.
Adam's standing right beside her. The devil is tempting his wife, and he doesn't open his mouth. He's letting Eve lead. As JR just said. Instead of him stepping, sliding in between the devil and his wife, said, hey, dude, who do you think you're talking to? Get out of here, man. He allowed his wife, remember, Adam spoke to God. I'm sorry, God spoke to Adam. God spoke to Adam. Adam had firsthand information. Adam shared the information with Eve. Eve didn't have firsthand knowledge. It said Eve was deceived. Adam knew Eve was deceived. Guys, Adam knew Eve was deceived. I go to the abortion clinic. I know the women are deceived. I know. And the women are deceived. The technique has never changed. It's never changed. So think about the whole Ted Cruz, Donald Trump thing. I know. People are deceived. I see things differently. People are deceived. Why? Well, because the devil always mixes a little bit of truth. What did he tell the devil? Your eyes are going to be open. Right? Your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The devil always mixes a little bit of truth with a lie. Always does. So this battle has continued. Let's go to verse 14. No, 13. Are you there, JR?
Yeah. And the Lord God said to the woman.
No, I'm sorry, buddy. Let's go to 12. No, let's go to 11. Sorry.
No, hold on.
Verse 10. Go ahead. Verse 10. I'm stopping. Go ahead.
Why don't I just pick up where I left off?
Yeah, then,
so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.
So Adam heard his voice. See, my sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear. So Adam heard the Lord. Go ahead.
Adam said, the woman made me do it. I'm sorry. And Adam said, you're already in enough trouble. Adam said, who told you?
No, the Lord said.
Yeah, and he said, and the Lord said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?
Keep going, JR.
Then the man said, the woman who you gave to me to be with me.
Passing the buck. Started right there, didn't it? Passing the buck. The woman you gave me, Lord. It's your fault. You gave me this woman. Go ahead.
She gave me of the tree, and I ate.
Just follow mommy. Just follow what the woman says. Yep.
And the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate.
Deceived. Beguiled. She was tricked. About done. Keep going, JR.
So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go.
Here we go.
And you shall eat dust all the days of your life.
Here we go.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman.
Uh-huh.
And between your seed and her seed.
So the devil reproduces, huh? Am I reading that right?
He definitely has children. I've seen a bunch of them running around.
Devil reproduces. And he's going to put enmity between my kids and your kids. Wow. Go ahead, JR.
He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
So there it is, fellas. There's the eternal battle that's going on. It's not Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, Cruz, Trump. It's not any of that stuff. It's the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. They're headed towards a cataclysmic battle. We've had little skirmishes, been little skirmishes going on all the time. But here's what's happened to us, see. The church, we've become Adam. We've retreated. We've let our women, we've let whatever, we've let others be deceived, and we sit in the background, doesn't really matter. We win in the end. We've allowed ourselves to be deceived. And so all of the great issues going on in America, they're all deception. They're all deception. What was the greatest deception? Everson versus the Board of Education, 1947. What was that deception? There's a separation between the church and the state. Great deception. It's just asking that same question. The Snopes monkey trial. Scopes monkey trial. Remember that, right? Do you know that this is an amazing way to study that. Do you know the Scopes monkey trial, when that trial was over, evolution was ruled illegal. You couldn't teach it. Scopes lost. He lost. and this isn't the 40s, I think, or maybe the 30s, I can't remember, that we were fighting then not to allow evolution even to come into the schools. You weren't even allowed to bring that monkey talk into the schools in the 30s. And now you're not allowed to bring God talk into the schools. We have it exactly. There's been a coup, hasn't there? Been a coup d'etat that's taken place. Oh, I could go on. I'm looking at, how about this? I bet you never thought about this. I'm closing my Bible. Roger, don't miss tomorrow. I got a good one for you tomorrow. How about this one? Our Sunday schools are set up by age. Our public schools, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, all based on the idea of evolution. That all five-year-olds think the same, all six-year-olds think the same, all seven-year-olds think the same, all eight-year-olds, put them together. We do it in our Sunday schools. We do it in our Sunday schools. We have evolution, evolutionary theory in our Sunday schools. Hey, good to see you there, Jesse. It's in our Sunday, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And we have to purge ourselves of some of this filthiness that's going on, some of this ridiculous filthiness that's going on. Evolution's everywhere. I don't even know how we got on evolution, although it's critical. We don't see it as critical. Our pastors and our churches don't see it as critical. I want to finish up with this. You guys didn't say much today. On our boot camp this Saturday, we brought in, Saturday afternoon, Linda Harvey from Mission America. She took an hour, and she explained the homosexual agenda to us. Unbelievable. And then Linda was followed by Jamie Beer. Somebody's ever been Beer in Pastor Bill's church. It's a joke. Jamie Beer talked about apologetics 101 in regards to abortion. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I asked both of them afterwards, do you get in church as much? You know
all
the answer?
Time, all the time.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, I'm booked every Sunday, Coach. Every Sunday I'm in some place declaring the truth so the people's eyes will be open to what's going on. My people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. For lack of knowledge. And it all goes back to that very lie at the beginning of the book. Two lies. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the second one, did God really say that? Did God really mean that? Oh, he'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. God is love. Jesus will forgive you. You've got twins. Oh, yeah, go kill them both. Jesus will forgive you. It's a lie. It's a mutation of the truth. And it's rampant in our society. It's rampant. That's why I'm giving you guys heads up there. The more you begin to speak this, the more you're going to be hated. Because the world the church has decided to saddle up with the world. It's been gradual. They haven't done it on purpose. But they've saddled up. So one of the things that we want to do with some of our boot camps is to take the truth like we just did, take them on the road. We're going to go to Dallas. We're going to go to the Carolinas. Try to hold one in Columbus, Ohio. People got better things to do. By the way, Pastor Dunphy, I missed church yesterday. We had our grandkids stayed all night with us, and Michelle and I just got a late start, didn't make it to church. We had the boot camp at his church on Sunday. I'm sorry, on Saturday. And I guess he just lit them up on Sunday for not coming. Is that awesome? Is that awesome? He sat on the front row during the whole thing. He went to the clinic on, a good shepherd leads his people out. He went to the clinic on Saturday. And on Sunday, rather than standing in the pulpit and being nice to him, he lit them up for not coming and receiving this knowledge that was freely being given to him. So praise God for Pastor Bill Dunphy. Tomorrow, hey Weave, don't miss tomorrow, man. I'm gonna open something up, it's gonna crack something up, it's gonna be so good. So good.
Give us a little taste.
Well, Psalm 18, brother.
Psalm 18.
That's all you need to know. Hey, read two Proverbs, two chapters of Proverbs, and two Psalms a day, and that'll be enough food to carry you wherever you have to go. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow morning.